Hi, I'm Ray Poynter, and this is Talking AI. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Tony Costella, Global Commerce AI and Performance Transformation Director, whose LinkedIn description includes driving Heineken's marketing and commercial transformation by embedding AI-powered insights to elevate performance and unlock growth. Hi, Tony.
Harry, great to be here.
Wonderful to see you. And maybe we could start with that job description. Quite impressive. So how is AI transforming things at Heineken?
Well, it's a relatively new role, of course, and like many companies, we're realizing that this is really an inflection point, and that this isn't just another one of those fads. This is gonna completely change our ways of working going forward. And we wanted to make sure we had proper focus on that and people set up to deliver and think through and deliver what that would look like for the company. So that's where my role came in.
But it sounds somewhat more central than an insights role would typically be.
Absolutely. So, although my background is in insights, my whole career has been in insights, this role is not an insights role. It's using insights, but it's to transform our commercial organization, so sales and marketing, and beyond. And it's interesting that it's an insights person that's kind of driving a lot of this. And it kind of makes sense when you think about it. I think the insights industry has long been used to working with data, thinking through how to ask the right questions, understanding how to apply critical thinking to understand that not everything that you hear is 100% correct, and understanding how to use all of those things. These are all skills that are incredibly useful, obviously in the AI world. And so I think we're well positioned to take strong leadership roles as we're driving this AI transformation.
So we sometimes hear people beating up on the research industry and saying, oh, we're so slow at picking things up. But of course, you get to see all the other divisions too. And if we think about yourself and some of the other leaders in this area, maybe we're not so slow.
Absolutely. And certainly this is one of the things as we did a bit of a an overview of what the different tools that were being adopted across the business, because at Heineken, unfortunately, things were not always as controlled as maybe some other companies. So people had the freedom to go out and start experimenting, which was great in many ways, obviously challenging in others. But indeed, what we've seen is the different tools that were being embraced by insights teams were actually quite advanced compared to some of our other functions because of some of those things I mentioned earlier, because we're used to dealing with these kinds of tools, and thinking. So indeed, we were one of the leading areas. And on top, I think the other thing is, and there's been a lot of press over the last couple of months around how a lot of these AI transformations haven't actually delivered much value. And it's true. I think when you look across a number of the solutions, and I say solutions with inverted commas, that are out there, there's a lot of empty promises and that don't actually deliver very much. While in the insights world, a lot of the tools that we're already starting to use, because the insights departments were looking at those with a critical eyes, embedding and infusing the data that we had, the consumer data, et cetera, then we're getting value relatively quickly compared to some of the tools in other areas that were beautiful ideas but don't have anything underneath them, so weren't actually delivering any business value.
So, can you share some of the actual benefits, some of the things that have been delivered by these changes?
Yeah, I mean, some of the big changes are still to come, of course, but some of the early low-hanging fruit, and I think that an obvious area is in knowledge management, and the ability to use generative AI to help you look through, in our case, literally tens of thousands of documents of insights and be able to make sense of that is an immediate value that Gen AI delivered almost literally overnight. When it appeared a couple of years ago, and obviously over the last couple of years, that's improved even more, and our ability to use that to embed that into our processes has meant that we're already working quite differently in the insights area as to how we do and support the rest of the business. So that's already from very early on was one of the few very tangible and concrete examples of where AI made a difference.
So, have you, to the extent you can talk about these sort of things, to what extent have you developed tools and to what extent have you taken tools that are out there, like knowledge management systems, and simply learned how to adapt them?
I mean, we're doing it as I guess most are, doing a combination of both of those things. And in order to accelerate, we're focused a lot on buying and partnering. I would say as much partnering as buying, because what we're less interested in is getting a proprietary tool from a supplier that locks us into them and we don't understand what goes on behind it and everything else. We're much more interested in partnering. To develop the tools that combine our data, our ways of working with a partner's expertise areas and their technical capabilities to develop a great solution. So partnering is our preferred route to really accelerate what we can do and when. But we are on, doing both the other end of that extreme. We are building some of our own tools from scratch. Where it makes sense to do so, and in some cases, buying off-the-shelf solutions that can slot straight into our business.
So, what are the sort of challenges you're facing in this transformation? I mean, transformation is a pretty big process.
It was fun. I was at ISMO along with you, Ray, a couple of weeks ago, and I thought Elaine put it beautifully, talking about the transformation at Reckitt, and she used a beautiful idea of the 10-20-70 concept, which I've now completely stolen shamelessly and I'm using everywhere across the business to explain that this kind of transformation that we're talking about, it's not a tech transformation. Tech is powering it, but it's a people transformation. So the 10-20-70 is actually 10% of the shift is about the technology, 20% is about the data that's fueling that, and 70% is about the people. And so if the people are not adopting and not understanding how AI works, not understanding how it might change our business processes, or understanding the caveats, getting comfortable with it, all of those things, then it's never going to fly. Just dumping these tools into people's laptops will not work. So actually, as with everybody, the biggest transformation is bringing an entire organization on board, getting people comfortable with using AI, what it can do, what it can't do, which is just as important. And also getting over that fear, which is very real, that AI is just going to take away our jobs. So why would I embrace something that's going to make me defunct?
Yeah, absolutely. So remember a year ago, yourself and Elaine from Reckitt and Lubov from Diageo talking about one of the challenges being that companies were coming to you with solutions, but not understanding your workflow. And therefore, of course, the solutions weren't going to work. Is that still an issue? Are people still knocking on your door and coming with things which they think are whole solutions?
Yeah, I'm sure that's still happening. And as I said, coming with the snake oil, the magic potion, the silver bullet that's going to solve everything. And I think, kind of going back to an earlier question, I think this is a bit of a learning that some large organizations have gone through versus one of the last big shifts and big data when there were these companies going and talking to C-suite managers and saying, listen, we can do things very differently, and we have the solution that means you can completely eradicate parts of the work process and everything else. I think large organizations learned a lot through that, because a lot of the and it was often people from outside of the insights industry, either new upstart startups, sorry, or people from adjacent industries, purely analytics companies coming and not really understanding the complexity of the full system, and offering solutions that could that frankly underdelivered and underwhelmed in reality. And I think that's a little bit why you now see commercial functions working hand in hand with IT groups, rather than maybe that last transformation where IT was really driving and insights and other areas were desperately trying to tag along or battle and grapple with those. It's much more of a partnership you see happening in large organizations now to make sure that yes, there's a technology, yes, there's a fantastic new approach that can change our ways of working, but in of itself, it's not going to deliver. It needs the right data and it needs the right understanding of the work processes of how people are working in order to be effective. So yes, those, and of course, it's very difficult for a company to approach a large FMCG and talk about those last two parts because they don't own those, but coming purely with a technology solution and over-promising what it can deliver raises a lot of doubts and maybe more so than it would have done in the past.
Now, when we were chatting in Prague at the SMR Congress, you raised some interesting thoughts as well about the business models that agencies are going to need to be thinking about as we go forward. So, you want to share some thoughts about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think it as I say, it's a fundamental inflection point, not just for consumer goods organizations, but certainly, of course, for the insights industry. And one of the things that we talked about on stage as well was actually what this what and what I truly believe, and another reason why I think insights is driving a lot of this is what AI is going to enable us to do is to truly embed insights into every decision that's being made, not just into the key ones and the points at major stage gates. And that means that going instead of it raises by an order of magnitude the number of times that we would be using research. And if you think of it in the old paradigm of thinking by project, then we're going to then insights companies are going to get lost because we're talking about if you think about the and it's maybe best to think of it in an example and getting a piece of advertising from conception through to the final edit that goes on air. Today we might test that once or twice up front, maybe a focus group, maybe look at the storyboard. Maybe there'll be a check when a rough cut is made, and if it's a really big campaign, also the final edit. So at most, you're talking about 4 or 5 times that you would that a research company would touch that asset from inception to being in market. In the future world, we might go through tens or hundreds of iterations of that process, all the way from the beginning of really thinking through what's the right insight that's going to drive that, the early storyboard. We could be continually checking every single element to understand whether it's working or not, what and why behind it. So we could be doing hundreds or thousands of mini projects in the old language, mini exposures to consumer or to consumer thinking. It may not be to real consumers, but through that process. What that means is if companies are thinking about how this new world is going to change their pricing model, they need to think very differently. It's not that people are going to do 4 or 5 consumer tests and they're all going to be cheaper. So it's how do we reduce our costs and using AI to reduce costs so that we can be competitive for those 4 or 5 tests is how can you be the person that's involved in the 4 or 500 iterations that go on and that we as a big organization are linking into your expertise and data to be able to iterate and improve and test every element of that campaign through the process. But instead of then thinking about, oh, we're going to charge you hundreds or thousands of euros per test, you need to think about more of a more like a token-based approach, as a lot of the AI companies are now thinking and are already acting and have set up their models to say, hey, we should be continually putting prompts into your engine, and your engine should give us back responses instantly. That those aren't going to be worth thousands of euros for every response, because but we're going to be doing thousands of them. So you need to completely switch the model, and that's going to be challenging for a lot of people, a lot of the incumbents that have obviously got their long established business models and Yeah, costs in the background, but that needs to happen for us to move to this new world where insights is truly embedded and helping in every decision that gets made along the way.
Absolutely. So if somebody wanted to partner with Heineken, what would they need to bring to the table?
Okay. It's a good question, and it's always challenging to get in, and as you can imagine, and this is one of the dangers as well with AI. It's almost so easy now to create fantastic marketing campaigns. So we're literally getting tens, hundreds of messages a day from companies who are offering solutions, and they all sound amazing. And so the challenge is how do you stand out in that, and what do you bring? I think for me there are a couple of things. I've already talked about the fact that anything that has the word, I must have a screener on my email. As soon as I see the word proprietary, then I'm immediately switched off, and because we don't want proprietary. And this is one of the keys is we need tools that are going to fit into an ecosystem, not tools that are going to sit on the outside, because if we're changing our whole ways of working, they need to be fully embedded into an agentic end-to-end solution. Then you can't have something that's a standalone tool. It needs to be fully interoperable with other agents and tools. It needs to be for it to bring value versus what we can do and create ourselves, you have to think about what is the company actually bringing. Is it that they've got a tremendous set of data that is unique, that is going to make the responses, that's going to make the insights that they bring better than others? Is it expertise that they've built over many years, or with the people that they have, that they understand that topic, which means the responses are going to be better? To be honest, when I hear that their point of difference is the technology, then I'm again immediately questioning, because the technology is moving so fast that even if they're right, even if they do have a superior technology, within hours it's not going to be the superior technology anymore. So your point of difference needs to be in what you're bringing and how what your solution is going to be better than others in terms of data, process, expertise.
Yeah, absolutely. So Heineken, along with one or two other organizations, we've mentioned a couple of them, are at the front of this process. What would you suggest to other client-side organizations, FMCG, auto, finance, all of these sorts of companies? What steps could they take to start the journey that you're already so far down?
So the first and most important by a long way is just to start, because and you said this many times, Ray, and you're completely right. Just you've got to start experimenting, because this is not one of those areas where you have to work behind the scenes to get the perfect solution, everything tied up in place, and then launch it, because you're going to be too late, and you're going to miss the boat. So the first and by far most important advice is just start playing, even if it's with tools that, and in a safe way, of course, and find ways to make sure that you're obviously not putting your business or any of your data at any risk. But you learn through doing, and so getting out there and experimenting with tools that are available. It's perfectly okay to buy. As I said, we're doing a lot of buying and partnering to help accelerate. So absolutely, do those things to start the process. I think the other thing alongside doing that is start building a strategy. Understand what are the areas of the business where AI can and should be prominent, and what are the areas where AI is going to be in the background, helping support. I think that's incredibly important to have a point of view on before you start going and commissioning and getting into bed with partners long term, because you need to really understand and have a point of view of also how your business is going to be different from your competitors. I think this is an important issue as we're all, and all companies are diving into the AI world. There is a danger that everybody we end up in that sea of sameness, and that everybody has similar solutions to each other. What that will do is it can certainly help raise the floor and mean that you don't have You eradicate some of the mistakes that you might have made, but you're not going to be breakthrough and beat your competition by having the same tools as them. And have you understood what is in the DNA of your business? How do you what are your points of difference versus your competitors? And how do you use AI to help support you in the right way to really strengthen those points of difference and make sure that your points of parity are caught up as well?
Thanks, Tony. We've run into our time buffers. So thank you so much. I think people are going to find that incredibly valuable. Probably a few people will find it a little challenging too, but that's as it should be. So thank you so much, Tony.
Thank you, Ray. Great to speak and talk to you soon.